Happy Mother's Day. And to all you mothers online watching, I know you don't got a bed this morning. Probably got kids around you making breakfast for you, right? So welcome all you online viewers as well. So I was thinking today, you know, I mean, collectively, the whole praise team, we have like 30 kids. That's amazing. It's an amazing blessing. So, you know, it's just it's an amazing time to just remember, you know, the women and mothers in our lives. And, you know, I know some of you, you know, don't hear moms anymore, but, you know, I know that they still have a special place in your heart today. So let's stand up today, and we're going to just worship God in our way. We're gonna do the song. Oh, one more thing. I know you guys understand that Jack is out today. He had his gallbladder out last week. So it was fine for a couple of days, but he's not feeling good. So just keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he gets through whatever the infection he's got going on right now. So we got a new song. This song is called Brand New, by a church that was in down in North Carolina. I think it's a really cool thing. I know, despite the mess that we get ourselves into, you know, we're always made brand new through Christ. All right. Before we knew you, you were calling with a relentless love. You were seeking when we were wandering. You pursued us, and in your heart we found our home.
We've seen the hope, the joy, the glory of your light. Your resurrection brought our broken hearts to life. We've seen your grace, your love, your mercy breaking through. And you're making us brand new.
No to grace, Lord. How great the dead we are, our hearts that wandered still, in mercy's grip you hold. And we were made by you, and for your glory, God, and in your cross we made our boast.
We've seen the hope, the joy, the glory of your light. Resurrection brought joy, the glory of your light.
Come on.
Your resurrection brought our broken hearts to life.
We see.
We've seen your grace, your love, your mercy breaking through. And you're making us brand new.
One more time.
We've seen the hope, the joy, the glory of your light. Your resurrection brought our broken hearts to life. We've seen your grace, your love, your mercy breaking through. And you're making us brand new. And you're making us brand new. Yeah, you're making. My Savior loves, my Savior.
Savior's always there for me. My God, He was. My God, He is. My God is always gonna be. My Savior lives. My Savior loves. My Savior lives. My Savior loves.
All right. Good morning, everybody. You can sit. Oh, actually, why don't we do something real quick? Before you sit down, why don't you turn and greet one another and say good morning and happy Mother's Day. And children can go to Shoreline Ministry. Okay, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see everybody. We always say, if you're here, we don't believe you're here by accident, so we welcome everyone, whether you're a visitor or a regular alike.
Jill,
thank you very much.
Jill, you want the kids to go out because they're going to see you?
Yeah, some of them are hanging in because they want to watch the dance because we have a dance coming at offering time. But yes, children can leave if they're not going to do that. Okay. So all of you, as Wayne said, you recognize Jack's not here today, and we're going to be blessed today to have Mike Brandon with us. Some of you have heard him before, so we're very pleased to have him with us. We've got a few announcements, but before we do, as Wayne said, Jack is recovering, and he's doing well, and in normal Jack style, he had to say it himself. So we're going to get a quick video from Jack.
Hey, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. I'm sorry I can't be with you today. I'm home recuperating from surgery that I had this week. Thank you to everyone who's been praying, who sent cards, who sent food, and all kinds of other things. We greatly appreciate it. We love our Haven Church family. To all the mothers, have a happy Mother's Day today. And I know that you'll have a great day with Mike Brandon. Thank you, Mike, for filling in. And God bless, and we'll be back with you really soon.
That was great. That was great. All right. So we got a few announcements for you this morning. Last week we had scheduled the 101 class. We only had a couple people come. So we will be just canceling that one and going to July 12th. If anyone is really interested in becoming a member, please come see me because we can talk about other ways to do that if we don't have a full class. Next Sunday after church is a Sunday school parent meeting. Anyone who has children in the Sunday school should plan to stay after. For some important information. You see some things on open stage night, May 22nd. Keep that in mind. Bring your talents out and come out and join us. Also, a lot of folks have been asking about a baptism service. So we now have it on the calendar. It's later than normal because Jack's got to recover before he goes into the Northeast River. So June 28th is the date, so mark your calendars. And if you're interested, send a note to connectionministry@havencc.org so we can plan. All right, Carol, is Carol back there? Yes, do you have him today? Okay, terrific. So for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, we had Compassion Sunday. We were able to find sponsors. We had 20 kids. We were able to find sponsors for 12. Okay, so we have only 6 children left. But please pray, prayerfully consider sponsorship. These 6 kids, we don't want to send them back. So please get together with friends, try to figure out a way. Carol's going to be out here in the lounge after church, so please take advantage of that. Judy, today we've got baby bottles. Okay, terrific. Today starts our annual baby bottle drive. She talked about it last week to benefit the Cecil County Pregnancy Center. So you take a bottle and you fill it with change and coins and dollars and whatever else you want, and we bring it back. I put by June 7th, and then we'll collect those and turn those in. You can see a couple other announcements on here, but I think that's the bulk of it. So just take a look at your bulletin, pay attention to the prayers, and please lift those up. And so now we're going to turn to our prayer time. I've got one prayer request that was submitted But please, as you come in on Sunday mornings, please feel free to grab a slip. Before I give the prayer request, I'm going to give a joy. Today is Jim Forsman, my husband's, birthday. He gets to share it with mothers everywhere, so happy birthday, honey. All right, so we've got a prayer request here from Patty Miller to keep Dave in our prayers. He's a recovering addict, and he's struggling, so keep him in prayers as well as all other folks like that who are struggling with addiction. So I think that we'll just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord knows your requests, and please submit those as you go, and we'll make sure we get them to Debbie. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. And we thank you that this day is dedicated to those women in our lives who have made a difference and who are there by being our mothers, but also other women who stand for who you are and what you do in their lives. Lord, we just ask that you bless mothers today and bless their families and the children that they are responsible for. Lord, we thank you for this church and this congregation. We thank you for our pastor, and we just pray that you continue to lift Jack up and continue to heal his body and bring him back to us soon. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and talents of everyone here that brings service about every day, every Sunday, and that we just pray that you would bless them and bless our time here together. Lord, for those who are sick and struggling, Lord, we just ask that you put your healing hand on them and that you would bring them through whatever challenges they're going through health-wise. For those who are struggling mentally and emotionally, Lord, just be at peace. Give them your peace. And Lord, for those who are struggling with addiction like Dave, Lord, we just ask that your healing hand be put upon him and that his mind be given over to you, Lord. And now as we face the rest of our service, Lord, may you just bless it. May you be in our presence. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. We pray for Mike as well as he brings the word. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to be taking our offering, but we're having a special gift today to the mothers for a number of daughters who are going to be performing a special dance. So come on, girls.
Times, know your name, I know you don't know mine, but I won't hold that against you. You come here every Friday night, I take your order and try to be polite. Hide what I've been going through with you. Looked me right in the eye, would you see the pain deep inside? Would you take the time? We'll be right back. just like everyone. Jesus, I need you, I need your love to save my life.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone. Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus' mother and brothers. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother."
Sorry, Mom, for all the endless piles of laundry. Arms up. I'm sorry for not giving you one moment of silence.
I'm sorry for everything.
I'm sorry, Mom, for all those times that I came home late.
I'm sorry for always fighting with my brother.
For treating you like an ATM machine.
For breaking your heart over and over by thinking I knew better.
Parenting is the hardest thing I've ever done.
But I've learned how to do it from you.
Thank you for teaching me.
That giving of myself is the strongest way to live.
That allowing my kids to fail will teach them the greatest lesson.
Thank you.
For teaching me that I can go one more day.
That parenting is the greatest honor in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What a strange question Jesus asked. Who is my mother? Of course he knew who his mother was. Why would he say such a thing? He said such a thing as an object lesson to Israel, and I believe to us today in the church. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. It's good to be back. Not under the circumstance that poor Pastor Jack is laid aside, but glad to be able to pinch hit for him today, and we send our prayers and love out to him. Who is my mother? It's an interesting passage, because Jesus is dealing with a people who had come to a place where they relied on what they thought was their relationship with Jehovah, with God. And they had, over time, overlaid that relationship with so many other things that they had lost the essence of the relationship, which was simply childlike faith. When the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For us today to think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to the source. We have to revisit that occasionally because we do the same thing, being fallen creatures just like the children of Israel were. We fall into the same trap. We begin to drift from that source. We begin to add other things. We begin to make substitutions. Ever go to a restaurant and say, well, I want the number 2 special, but I would like hash browns instead of the diced potatoes? Like, well, okay, whatever. And, of course, the waitress rolls her eyes and says, sure, that's no problem. And the cook goes, not another one. Well, you know, I've got it already ready to go. You know, we're always looking for just kind of our own little edge on things. But I'd like to talk this morning, and I'm going to be brief because I know you all have reservations for lunch for your moms, right? So we'll get you out of here. I'm going to touch on 7 scriptures. 7 is God's number of completion. I'm going to touch briefly on 7 scriptures. We're going to park on 1 just to look a little bit because I want to make the application from this passage. My large print is a King James, so I may throw a few these and thous in there. Don't be confused. If you're over 50, you probably have those verses memorized in King James anyway. But if you're following along, but let's look at the passage again here that we started with in Matthew. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. In John chapter 8, the people that came to Jesus, who were always picking at him, always trying to challenge him, always trying to trick him up, said, oh, by the way, Jesus, we are the children of Abraham. We're good with God. We're born into this Jewish race, and we have our own religion. We're good with God. We have a history of a relationship with God. We're good with God. We say in the church today, well, of course I'm good with God. I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or a Presbyterian, or a Pentecostal. We believe the right things, therefore I'm good with God. Or I've been baptized, or confirmed, or flipped, or dipped, or something's happened, and therefore I'm good with God. We say, well, I help out at the Paris Foundation. I'm a volunteer. Whenever Miss Bonnie needs somebody to go, I sign right up. Oh, she has to twist your arm to get you to go. No, you have a great group of volunteers. But we do the things. We do the right things. We hold to the right moral code. We're good with God. Jesus had something to say to the Israelites, to the Jews, and he has something to say to us. In John chapter 14, he said, listen, it's a personal relationship. You believe in God, believe also in me, he said in John chapter 14, 1. And then in 6, he says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a personal relationship, and it's an exclusive relationship. Now, that's not politically correct, and it's not popular today, but it is the Word of God. And when I speak to someone and try to witness to them and share Christ with them, and they give me that, well, you know, really, I'm a good person, and, you know, all roads lead to God, and if you're sincere in your religion, you're okay with God. It's the same mistake that the Jewish people made. The same answer is the answer that we need to give to those that say that today. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's an exclusive relationship. You go back to all the way back to the Ten Commandments, have no other gods before me. Our God is a jealous God, and he holds us to an exclusive relationship. And he wants that relationship built on a personal faith. But it is that personal faith is affirming a set of doctrinal principles or a constitution or bylaws or some moral code enough? Well, in the book of James chapter 2, James says pointedly, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. I can have it all up here, but if it's not here, and working its way out here in my hands and my feet, then What do I really have? What kind of a relationship do I have with God if all I have is I believe this, 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 and this? Some of us were raised with memorizing a catechism or a confession of faith. Maybe that's part of your religious heritage and your background. And so you came to know the right answers to pass the test, but understand that ultimately the test is one of where's the evidence. That's the test. Where's the evidence? Show me. It's like God's from Missouri. Show me. It's the show me state. He says, you say you have faith, show me works. James challenged the believers of his day. He says, listen, you're affirming these things, but your lives aren't speaking the same thing as your words. What do your actions demonstrate? Do you have a comfortable Sunday kind of faith? Do you have a, I did my obligation, I was here on time, I gave my check, I helped out in the Sunday school. Do you have that kind of faith? Yeah, kind of a warm and fuzzy? There's nothing wrong with a warm and fuzzy. Yeah, you don't want to come to church and feel like you're sitting on pins and needles. Absolutely not. At least until the preaching starts. Because I know Brother Jack brings the word. So the seats may be padded, but that's just a ruse. No, we're called to a productive relationship. There ought to be something emanating from this personal, exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. Something that not only God sees, but that others see. Remember Jesus said to let our light shine? Why? So that others would see our good works and glorify not us, but our Father in heaven. Because you see, we're called to a new relationship in Christ. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? You are my brothers and sisters and mother, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Let me read that one again. We like the easy sayings of Jesus. The hard sayings, we go, well, let me turn the page on that one. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We go, yes, I believe that. I learned that, yes. God is number one. Jesus, other, yourselves, brings real joy, right? We love those little acronyms. But is that how we live? Do we really live that way? Do we really, really believe that? Because you see, unless it's a transcendent relationship, unless it is over all other relationships, unless it is the one that defines our other relationships, then we really have demoted God and put someone else or something else in his place. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Again, we may have it here, but making the application of it is where we're challenged. Because you see, it's also a costly relationship. Matthew chapter 8, we read of the costly relationship, beginning in verse 19. Again, I'm reading from the King James, and it says, a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm on your team. Lead the way. Jesus says to him, hey, that's great. I want you to sign up in the lobby for a couple of committees, and we'll get you hooked up to the men's ministry. And be sure to come out for the breakfast that we're having the following Saturday. That's great. Welcome to the family. You can tell I've been a pastor. No, Jesus says to him, listen, dude, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, dude, I'm homeless. Look around. You see me here in this ragged robe and these beat-up sandals. I sleep under the stars with this interesting group of guys, fishermen, hello. Even the birds and the foxes have it better than I do. Oh, but you want to follow me? You think I'm the guy? How long are you going to stick when the going gets tough, when you have that rock for a pillow, when the coffee's cold and your belly's rumbling? Where's that relationship then? See, we're good fair-weather Christians. As long as things are going well, as long as somebody's giving to the building fund, I'm going to enjoy the new building when we move in. As long as somebody's working with those kids in the nursery, I get an hour of quiet and peace when I come into the sanctuary. As long as somebody else, well, look around the room. We're all somebody else to somebody else. We are mother and brother and sister. And that means that we depend on one another. It will cost us something. If it's not costing you anything to be a follower of Christ, you might want to check your spiritual pulse. Blip. Blip. Yep, still alive, but barely functioning. Jesus said, it's going to cost you comfort and security to be my disciple. Verse 21, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer or let me first go and bury my father. Now, that strikes home to a lot of us. I hadn't been a Christian all that long when my father passed. To my knowledge, he was not a believer. Plenty of religion, but he never had that personal relationship with Christ. And I know that because he lived his life as a bitter, angry, contentious man. Easter Sunday, 1996, my mother passed from this life into the next. I don't have that, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing mom again kind of confidence. I have some indications that she had that foundational faith. She was a great person, generous, kind. In fact, the only one who stood up and supported me when God called me into the ministry, everybody else went, what? You're going to do what? You're going to leave this and this and this and the career and the pension and all the stuff and the prestige. You're going to leave all that to do what? Yeah, well, that's what God said he wants me to do. Because it's a costly relationship. Jesus says to this man who wants to go home and do the very kind and considerate and reasonable thing to bury his father, Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You know, Jesus was rude. He never sinned, but he was rude. By our standards today, the things that Jesus said, and we're going to look at a couple more of them, the things that Jesus said, if I said them as a pastor to somebody in my congregation, all I would see is the door closing behind them as they left. We are so easily offended. Now, again, we have enshrined common sense and put that above our relationship with Christ. Oh, I affirm the Word of God in our church state doctrinal statements. Oh, we always say, oh, yes, we believe the Word of God. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's this, 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 and this. And we go out and live our lives like, well, it's something I bring out on Sundays or I leave on the coffee table at home. Yeah, I've got one on a coffee table at home. I do. Has my name on it. It was the one they gave me when I was ordained. But this is the one that gets all the work. Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Jesus, how insensitive. How insensitive. Well, it's a costly relationship. It might cost us comfort and security. It might cost us some natural affinity. In Matthew chapter 19, we don't have to turn there, but you remember the story of the rich young ruler? Recorded in several of the Gospels, this young man came to Jesus. The Scriptures tell us, if we put the Gospels together, it says he was rich, he was young, and he was really important. He was a ruler. And it was unusual for a young person to be in that position, in that culture, and in that day. This was a culture that valued the gray hairs. I shave them off every week. And on the eighth day, Mike got a haircut. But in that culture, though, the gray hairs were a sign of experience and wisdom and were honored. So it was a very unusual combination for this young man. And this young man comes to Jesus and he says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And what he was waiting for was Jesus to say, you're doing all the right things. Aren't we like that sometimes? Don't we want people to just come up and say, oh, you're doing all the right things. Keep up the good work. The pat on the back. And we want Jesus to pat us on the back. We want God to do that. We come home from doing something in God's name, and we're all like, man, I feel good about that. And you should. But that should be reward enough. But it not always the case. So Jesus says to this young man, okay, keep the commandments. Lord, I do that. I'm a religious guy. I go to church. I tithe. I do all those things. Jesus, well, tell you what. There's one thing that you lack. There's one thing missing in your your resume. Oh, really, Jesus? Show me what it is, and I'll go get her done. He says, here's what I want you to do, rich young ruler. I want you to sell everything you have. Huh? And I want you to give it to the poor. Well, oh, wait a minute. And I want you to come follow me. Now, you know the tagline of the story. It says he went away very sorrowful. Why? Because he was very rich. How many times do we hear a challenge like that and go, well, God doesn't really mean that. God doesn't really want me to sell all of it. God doesn't really want me to give up all of that. He doesn't really want me to give it to people that don't work, that are lazy, that are in the situation they're in because of decisions they made. We start to rationalize. We start to negotiate with God. And the Word of God says, let the dead bury their dead, sell everything, come follow me. And we go, God, you're unreasonable. You are unreasonable. I'm going to find a religion. I'm going to find a church. I'm going to find some people that are more reasonable, and that's who I'm going to go fellowship with. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but have you ever left the church because it seemed unreasonable? You need to repent and pray through that and try not to make the same mistake. Because if the word's being preached and if the leadership is demonstrating that transcendent relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to hear challenging things from the pulpit. You're going to be challenged by leaders of different ministries. You're going to be looked at and received in a very different way, because Jesus demands a response. It's a costly relationship. He says, sell, give, and come follow me. And then in Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to turn there and park for a few minutes. Luke chapter 9, we see some of these same themes revisited. And I always take note in Scripture when I see the same thing taught in different places. I know God's speaking to me because I'm a hard-headed Irishman, and I don't always get it the first time. You can say amen to that. See. Or you can insert your name there as well. Luke chapter 9, towards the end of the chapter, in 57, it says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And here's the fellow he talked about being homeless. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. We've heard that one. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus, why are you so demanding? Why are you so particular? Why are you so challenging? I thought this whole Christian thing was going to be cool. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought it was going to be nice. I said a few words. I walked an aisle. I signed a card. I said a prayer. I'm good with God. I'm good with you. I do all the right things. I'm not as bad as that guy. I don't do what she does. You know, I deal with all those that guys and she does folks every day. If you come to the Paris Foundation, you'll meet a lot of folks like that. I got a newsflash for you. We deal with folks like that every day in our lives, and sometimes we don't even know it. We don't know what other folks really do when the lights go down. We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know what they struggle with. And they may have the facade. That's what most folks' church are about, keeping up the image, keeping up the facade. And we really, really don't want to let God get us into a place where we're exposed as much as we say, well, we want to keep it real. We're at church. We want to keep it real. No, we don't. We don't, because if we keep it real, we're afraid that Jesus will say to us something like, let the dead bury their dead and come follow me. And God wants to yank us out of that place of comfort and security so that he can really use us for his glory. And we sit there and we grab and we go white knuckle on the chair and we say, I am not moving here. I'm doing good stuff. I'm staying right here. Let somebody else go. Now, as sad as that is, you know what's really sad? Because we're talking about Mother's Day here. Who is my mother? It's when we as parents do that to our kids. You know, we send them to camp, and they go to rallies, and they have youth group, and they have all their own stuff. And it's passion. Young people have passion, and they have the energy to go with it. Can I get a witness?
Hey, no problem. I'll be right with you in July.
You know, I mean, I still have the passion, but I don't have the energy. And what happens is, as we become comfortable with our lives in Christ, we begin to convey, first subtly, and then sometimes when the crisis comes, more pointedly, we convey the message that God is unreasonable. He doesn't really expect you to do that. And we undermine everything we've taught them about the Word of God, that it is the Word of God, that it is authoritative, that it is right, that it can never lead you wrong, except
that God wants you to go on the mission field, except that God wants you to go and help homeless people in the inner city, except that God calls you to something that is outside of your experience, may expose you to danger. Listen, you can step onto Route 40 and get run down by one of those crazy drivers, hello, and be gone in an instant. It happens all the time. Pick up the Cecil wig, and man, there it is, another accident on 40, another death, another fatality. I mean, God forbid we could pull out of here today. I could pull my truck out onto 40, and somebody could T-bone me, and I'm gone. And when we take that passion, and we pour cold water on it, but that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my niece or my nephew, that's my best friend's child, are we really acting like the mother and brother and sister that Jesus had in mind? Or are we listening to another authority, another message? Because you know the devil's really good at what he does. He doesn't send the bad to pull us away from the best. He sends the good. He whispers in our ear, that's your child. Your job is to protect her. You can't let her go to Guatemala. I can't even spell that. What's she going to do there? Oh, the last time she went there, she got really sick. And she wants to go again. You can't let her go. That's unreasonable. Sorry. That's how it went in our house. My youngest daughter went her senior year in high school. Went with a friend of hers from church who was born in Guatemala. And she went on a little mini missions trip and went down there with some friends from our church and got deathly sick, got a parasite. It happens. It happens. Been there, done that. Okay? Oh, I wouldn't want to go through that experience, so I'll stay right here where it's nice and comfortable. Stay close to mommy. She went. She came back. She got over it. 5 years later, she feels God tugging at her heartstrings, and there's an opportunity to go with my brother-in-law, who's a doctor, on a medical missions trip back to Guatemala. She's always had a heart for it. Can I go? Well, we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Now, the reasonable thing would have been to say, now listen, you know, you went last time, and that was great. Praise the Lord. But, you know, you did get really sick, and, you know, you've got this other situation, and, you know, you condition them. Yeah, it's probably not a wise thing. You know, maybe you could do something else, like, I don't know, come down and serve dinner at the Paris Foundation. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? But it's not the best thing for her when God's calling her to get on a plane and spend 10 days in Guatemala ministering in Jesus' name to the least of these. Because that's what God's called her to do. Thank God she went. Thank God we've learned the hard way that when God calls and it ignites that passion, whether it's our kid or somebody else's, we want to be behind it. We want to encourage it. I mean, I've had folks as a pastor back in the day, I had folks come into me and drag their son or daughter in and say, you tell them, Pastor, why they shouldn't serve God. This was what they're saying. Tell them that that's not reasonable. And all I do is go to the Word of God. sell all, give to the poor, and come follow me. Well, we didn't think you were going to say that. Well, then you're not reading the same book I am, dude. You see, it's a costly relationship. Are you willing to be homeless for Jesus? Are you willing to give up the security? Well, you have to own your own home. You know, our generation, that was the goal, right? You got to own your own home. You have to have security. You got to have something, what, to leave to the kids that they're going to squander? Right? My favorite bumper sticker is on the back of the big RV going down the road. Hi, I'm driving my kids' inheritance. Right? Good for you. Let them earn it the way you did. Teach them how to do that. Don't hand it to them. You know, we all say that. But listen, we had it so much easier than our parents, and our kids have it so much easier than we did. It's the nature of the beast. But we can still get it right. Are you willing to be homeless? Are you willing to give up that sense of security and trust God and step out, take that leap of faith? Are you willing to be considered inconsiderate and ungrateful? Well, what do you mean? You wouldn't go back and say goodbye to your family and friends before you went off the street. Listen, one of the hardest things to do as a new Christian for me was to allow God to separate me from the people that were important in my life up to that point. I had 32 years of that. I met Jesus Christ as my Savior at 32, and I had 32 years worth of relationships, good, bad, and indifferent. And God began to separate me from those relationships as he began to move me toward what he wanted me to do. Although I wasn't aware of it, I didn't just wake up and, you know, the day after I got saved and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go be a pastor or a preacher or whatever. No, I was fighting that tooth and nail. I'd have been the world's oldest undercover detective if they had allowed me to stay. You know, I was a cop at the time. Chasing bad guys, doing good stuff. Hey, man. What do you mean you don't want me to stay doing it? What do you mean? Listen, I've got all these babies at home, and I've got a mortgage and a house. And I went through that whole thing. I had family saying, well, you're crazy. You can't do that. You can't give that all up. Sell all, give to the poor, and come follow me. You know what? It's a nice story, but when you have to live it, it's tough. It's tough. Point is, it gets easier as you obey. If you follow through, if you hang in there, if you do it the first time when it's hard, the next time God challenges you, because he will challenge you, you've taken that step, now he wants you to take the next, it does get easier. Because it's his spirit that carries us along. And if we rely on that spirit, if we look to one another and see one another as God sees us, as his family, he'll provide the strength. He'll provide the wherewithal. And it won't seem quite as costly the next time. Are we willing to pay the price? It may well cost us what we think are things that are essential in our lives, including family relationships. You know, we talk about dysfunctional families as sort of, you know, the exception. No, the first dysfunctional family was the first family. Have you read about Adam and Eve? Well, they had communication issues. And Cain and Abel, well, they had sibling rivalry. Yeah, the Bible's full of dysfunctional families. Get in line, take a number, right? But you watch how God dealt with those situations and those families. He never gave anybody a pass. He didn't say, listen, you're saved now. You believe in Jesus Christ. You get the easy pass to put on the dashboard of life, and you're going to sail through. You don't even have to stop to pay the tolls. It's not the way it works. So the question for us today is, are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to let go of the things and even the people in our lives that keep us from the very best that God has for us? Because you see, that's really what our mothers want for us, isn't it? Isn't that what every mother here wants for their children? The best that God has for them? We have to make a choice. We have to make a decision to support that when God says, here's the best. Here it is in front. Here's what I want for you, for your child, for your family. Who is my mother? This is my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Not just those at Haven, but those around the world who have a blood relationship with Jesus Christ, just like we do. Would you join me in a word of prayer this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, out of just respect for the thing that we're doing, that we're taking a moment and communicating with God on His terms. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that has been challenged by what they've heard today from God. Not from me, but from God in His Word. I wonder if there's something that God has just brought to the front, put it on the front burner in your life, and you're wrestling with it right now. I'm going to encourage you to surrender your opposition. I'm going to encourage you to do the radical, crazy thing and obey what the Spirit of God is calling you to do. It might be to receive Christ as Savior for the very first time. Maybe you need to begin by acknowledging that all the religion and all the right stuff has still left you wanting. And what you want is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll receive Him by faith, confess your sin, because we're all sinners, acknowledge His payment on the cross for your sin debt and mine, and receive by faith, you too can become part of the family of God. And if there's someone here that's been struggling with an act of obedience, you've said, God, I can't believe you really mean that. You're being unreasonable, God. You can't really want me to do that. And He has said, yes, I do. Say yes. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those here, perhaps, Lord, who are not yet members of our family, your family. And this question today, Lord, who is my mother, has struck a chord with them. I pray in this quiet moment, Lord, that they would say yes. For the lost to receive Christ and become a member of the family, say yes. For the resistant to become obedient, say yes. For the partially committed to become fully committed, to say yes. Because truly, You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
time, everybody, all the voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul.
All right, well, I'm gonna have Fred just ending prayer with you guys. Just give a nice shout out to the moms that we all in our lives, and just have a great Mother's Day in God's name. Go with Fred.
Dear Lord, we ask your blessings upon us this week, and bless all the mothers today, all those that are with us, all those that have passed on to be with you. Lord, we just thank you for all that they've done for us, for raising us and for disciplining us, for carrying us on, holding us tight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grave that I found in you. Lord, I've come to you.